Every individual must learn what it means to be human, and this understanding begins developing in early childhood. What matters most for our youngest children is how we are with them, how we show up with them, and let them know what kindness, empathy, and respect look like. They're following us, they're leaders. Welcome to the Leading for Children podcast. We're excited you're here with us today as we explore number 7 of the simple rules to create thriving communities for children, organized. I'm Judy Jablon, founder and executive director of Leading for Children. Joining me today are members of our team. So let's introduce them and then we'll get started. Serene, would you say hi?
Hello, everyone. I'm Serene Stevens, and I am a program leader with Leading for Children. I'm also a mom and a wife, and looking forward to this conversation. So, Shannon, may I pass it to you?
Yes, thank you, Serene. I'm Shannon Newman. I'm the Senior Program Manager at Leading for Children. And I, too, Serene, am a mom and a wife, and I am also a grandmother. And excited to be here and excited to be on the grandmother journey. And I will pass to Nicole.
Thank you, Shannon. Hello, everyone. My name is Nicole Parks. I am the Deputy Executive Director at Leading for Children. I am a mom, wife, grandmother, and aunt to many, and I'm excited about today's conversation.
Nicole, would you get us started?
Of course, I'd love to, Judy. So today we're talking about organized, and organized means having an intentional plan or structure. When you are organized, there's predictability, and with that typically comes peace of mind. That outcome of ease and contentment is key. Organization is a way to achieve that. It is not the achievement in itself, and it is so personal to each of us.
Nicole, it is so personal. The environments we grow up in can implicitly and explicitly teach us about organization. I have a lot to say about that. We observe routines and dialogue at home and in school and in our broader community. And we learn what it means to be organized, what organized looks like, how it's valued, and the impact organization has on us.
That's so true, Judy. And because it's so personal, this topic can really bring up intense thoughts and feelings. As a society, we tend to assert that there is a correct way of being organized. We often compare ourselves to others and experience distress when we feel we're just not living up to it. And the reality is that there are infinite ways of being organized, and how we do it is a beautiful conglomeration of history, culture, tradition, and personal style coming together.
Most of us listening and the four of us here today have a lot of feelings and thoughts about organization. So why don't we get started? As a team, let's talk about what organization or being organized means to each of us. And how about we start by just throwing out some different words that organization brings to mind, other words that we think about when we think about space or state of mind?
I can start off. So the words that come to mind for me are a sense of predictability, consistency, flow.
For me, I think about safe and a sense of calm.
One thing that I think about, Shannon, when I think about you and what you've taught me about being organized in my work is structure and systems that make things easier. Anything you want to add, Nicole?
Yes, as I listen to the words that comes to mind, it makes me think of competence, actually. When I think about organized, when I am organized, that is when I feel most competent.
Does that resonate, Serene and Shannon, with you, or do you have other thoughts?
It does resonate with me. I'm thinking about how whenever we're in an organized environment, it is a bit simpler to be self-regulated. And whenever we are able to have that regulation, how we can be our better selves and also feel like we are able to be our calm selves and be in that experience in that moment.
For me, in a space when it feels organized, I can think. And space to think is so valuable. And I'm finding, especially as I get older, I really value the space to think.
There's always research. And research tells us that organizing reduces stress, that clutter and disorganization increases stress and anxiety. And I'll start because I have kind of a weekly fight with myself about this. And I definitely have, you know, lots of historical associations with feeling judged and feeling disciplined all around organization. And all these years later, that's sometimes more in my DNA or my wiring than all that I've learned since my childhood about how comforting organization is. I noticed that when my physical space, whether it's the kitchen or my office or my garage, you know, whatever it is, when I sense that things are like out of order or chaotic, it's so stressful to me even to walk through it. And then I also have this fight with myself about not tidying it up. You know, like I'd rather work in the living room than go to my office when my office is cluttered, even if it would only take me 5 minutes to tidy up my desk. I'm wondering if that resonates, what other people are thinking. Shannon, you're like cracking up here.
I am, just because I have that same experience. And I was thinking about the circle of whenever things in my home or my office start to get cluttered, that then my mind feels cluttered and vice versa. I've noticed it can also be a direct result of kind of mind clutter or disorganization that, you know, physically manifest as like disorganization in my home environment and vice versa. And so there is that relation there of, oh, whenever it becomes too unorganized, that it's sometimes easier to shut the door and leave it, but it's always in the back of your mind. It's still there that it needs to be done.
Can I just tell you guys, yesterday I organized my closet that has towels and sheets. I think it's been 20 years since I did it. And I did it because we were having this conversation today. And when my husband got home last night, I showed him and he didn't have a big response, but oh man, this morning I opened that door and it just like made me so happy. Serene.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, so Shannon, when you said a cluttered like mind, so when I think of organized, I also think of boxes, folders, and notebooks. Like I think in boxes, folders, and notebooks. And I think that, you know, I've tried to create boxes and folders in my own mind. And I'm much better off doing it in my physical space than I am doing it in my mind. And it's for that exact reason, to like put information in so that there's spaces to hold things in. And so that's what comes to mind for me when I think about an organized mind. Boxes and folders.
What about in the kitchen? I'm going to be a little bit presumptuous to assume that all four of us do something in the kitchen at some point. I don't know about you. I find that my kitchen makes sense to me. And when I go to somebody else's house, I often feel like I don't understand their kitchen. And obviously it makes sense to them. And that, as I was preparing for this conversation, I thought about this idea that each of us also has our own sense of what organization works for us. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can start us with that, because for me, it was a big aha in a process of self-discovery. So I love organizations. However, there are some characteristic traits that I have that really makes organization more challenging for me. I have to be really intentional about it. And so I had in my mindset this real structured way of organizing things, even when it came to my kitchen. And one of the greatest gifts that I had was I had a friend who knew me well enough to say, I see your goal is to be organized, and I also see you trying to be organized the way that everybody else is organized. And she said, what would happen if you just put things where you want them to be, if you had a system that works for you? And so that was probably the most liberating thing in the world. And so that's what I did. And if you come to my home, I kind of laugh when you talked about the kitchen, Judy, because if you look for my knives are actually in a cabinet. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense for nobody when they come to my home. And it makes perfect sense for me, A, because I've always had young children in my home, and it makes sense to keep them out of harm's way, but also because of my height. And so it really put my knives at eyesight length for me. And so when I need them, I can just turn to the cabinet and just reach and just grab one. And so when I think about organized through that lens, it really is learning what works for you and accepting what works for you, because it does not have to be what works for everybody else.
I guess I have a question to follow that, which is, as you've lived in your home with your children, how have you helped your children learn about organization and the organization within your home?
It took me a while, and we really approach it from what works for you, because what I realized was that my children had some of the same characteristic traits that I have as well. And so the system that I tried to create for them didn't work. And so, for example, Gracie, my 12-year-old, there is nothing in a drawer in her bedroom. Everything is either in a bin, and they're not even folded, which drives me crazy. But for her, it just works to know, here's the bin where all of my socks are. Here's the bin where all of my shirts are. And so what I've really tried to stress to them is the why of being organized. And then once you understand why, find what works for you. And then sometimes that means, as mom, I have to just chill and be okay that things aren't folded.
Wow, that resonates for me strongly, Nicole, both in my home and with my children. Judy, when you mentioned the kitchen, what comes to mind for me is that I'm married to a chef, and I'm also 4'11 in height. And so, Nicole, your story resonates because, so my husband, the chef, he likes to put seasonings in different order in the cabinet. And some of the seasonings that I use the most are on the highest cabinet, on the highest shelves. So I often find that I mess up his system a lot when I reach for them and try to put them back, because I kind of just toss or shove things up there and toss them to the higher shelf. And so that's a conversation that happens a lot in our house about how I am not working with the system and how he's not working with my height. And so
you need a step stool.
I do need a step stool, and I have one. And, you know, that's another thing in and of itself, to just go get the step stool happen. And so I've also been reminded that the step stool is over there to keep the system going. For my children, the story that comes to mind for me is that the teacher in me, I used to label all of my children's drawers and their dressers and their closet and said that this is the space. And I really wanted their space to look a lot like my classroom space. As they got older, they would tell me not only did my system not help them, they knew where their things went without the labels, but they also said to me it was a little bit just, it wasn't following what it is that they needed or wanted. And it wasn't helpful to them. So I had to learn what is helpful for them and change my systems and be willing to do it to adapt to what it is that worked for them.
I'm going to pause us for a second, because I think, Nicole, you raised this idea of the why behind organization. And I think we have implicitly stated the why, which is that it makes it easier to accomplish things. It makes it easier to find what you need quickly and efficiently. It helps you to focus on getting accomplished what you're trying to do and accessing the things you need. We talked about the fact that when it's cluttered, it makes chaos in your brain, and so you don't think as well. So there's this issue of the why, and then there's this other issue of the imposition of your how within a group. And Serene, you talked about a classroom where, you know, a teacher has 15 or 20 children. And so you create a system that you think is going to work effectively for everyone. And then you talk to them about the why of that system and so on and so forth. I think we're pointing out that we can't necessarily do that in our households if we're going to nurture the kind of relationships in our families. So we've really covered a lot of ground here. Let's spend a few minutes just thinking about how our backgrounds have influenced our thoughts and feelings about organization in our spaces, organization of our thoughts, because I think that has so much to do with how we show up.
I really believe how a person is raised affects the lens in which they view organized. My mother always had very strict rules about, you know, what meant an organized environment, how it looked, how you got there, and all of the expectations around that. But many of her habits remained with me, you know, throughout my childhood into, you know, teenagehood and then, you know, young adults. And I realized that a lot of those expectations were actually really good concrete habits, but I didn't necessarily want to use them in that same way. And so it was affecting and impacting the decisions I was making. And some of it was really good habits, but I didn't necessarily like the way it was impacting. And so you have to, I think, sometimes take into perspective, that's my background. And it's like, it's impacting me, but how can I adjust that to fit the needs of the relationships I'm in now? And one of the ways that we have done that at my home is we stay very organized. Everything has a place, you know, things stay tidy and clean, but in a way that everyone has access. So even tables in our living room have different tiered shelves. And if you can reach it probably at that height, it is acceptable to you and accessible to you. So if you're three, you have books and games and activities and electronics that you are welcome to touch. And then if you're 20, you have ones up here that you're welcome to also touch and use. So the background definitely impacted that, but I have been able to nurture and adapt it into something that worked for my family.
Nicole?
It makes me think about that drive that I have to be organized. So in retrospect, my mom has a lot of characteristics that I have, and then I'm sure passed down to my darling children. And I can just remember being young and our home being so disorganized. You know, like it wasn't uncommon for the conversation to be like, well, where's my sock? Where's the other sock? Where are my shoes? She just was challenged in keeping things organized. And so although I wanted to be organized, very much that impacted me. And so as an adult, and even as a young adult, I can remember having, and even as a teenager, I can remember in my home, like really drawing some boundaries and like, no one can come into my room, not because I don't want you there, but because I want my room to stay organized where I know where things are. And so I think for me, it really made organization like a big deal for me. Like I need it, I want it. And because I was raised in a disorganized household, I had to cultivate and learn skills to be organized. It wasn't something that came to me naturally.
Serene?
Yeah, for me, this conversation is bringing up my background experience of my mom. Organization for her meant routines and repetition. And so every Saturday you do this thing, you know, you put this thing in this place all the time. And what that translated to for me is this need to, as I grew up, stay routined and stay consistent and continue to do the same thing over and over, even when it stops serving me. So what I had to learn And I think this is my liberation, you know, and it was a cause for tension between my mother and myself as I became older and had my children. This idea of, if a system no longer works, let it go, right? And if a routine no longer serves this purpose that it originally did, let it go. And so in my home, we have a rule of thumb that if it's not working, stop doing it. Or if it doesn't serve a purpose, drop it. And that can be tricky with a family of five. It's five of us in this house, my three children, my husband and myself. And so there are moments when we are all transitioning into a new system because an old system or routine is no longer working us. And you can actually see it when people are needing to transition their systems. And it's a moment of chaos, I guess, as you're transitioning into something new that will help you to be organized in the way that you need it now.
Before I share my background and how it influenced me, I think, Serene, I want to highlight something that you said, and it links to Nicole talking about the why of organization. I think you just described something very beautiful about your family, and that is the explicitness with which the family communicates about this, and that everybody's respected as having a voice in how does the system work. And Shannon, in your story, you also talked less about an explicit system, but more of an implicit system that's respectful of everyone by the reference you made to height. And that's my prelude to kind of my growing up. This might come as a surprise to all of you, but both my parents were in the military. And so we grew up saluting in our house, and both of my parents had extremely strict rules that were not always the same. But in terms of order and organization and how things were supposed to be done and where things were supposed to be put and all of that, I mean, there were signs in the house and in the bathroom and labels on how to close the toothpaste. And, you know, it was ugly for me growing up, and I needed to rebel against it so much. And Serene, when you said, when it stopped serving you, I remember this time in my 20s of sort of saying, wait, this rebellion I have about order isn't serving me anymore. And that was a really amazing discovery that, you know, I didn't have to reject things because it was not coming from the outside. It was coming from the inside. So I guess one major, major takeaway for me in this conversation is conversation about it and the importance of it being not something that is just assumed, but that something that is a source of conversation. So I think we've all kind of agreed that our backgrounds affect us. What about conforming? Have you ever felt pressure to conform to a particular way of maintaining a sense of order? I guess my story as a child, I certainly felt like I didn't have a choice. But what about later in your experience?
Judy, I was a young mom. I was a teen parent. And as a young parent, I just remember so many times there being an expectation and a judgment around how I should be organized, regardless of if what was happening was technically organized and fit into an organized, you know, description or definition. But because I wasn't necessarily doing it the way someone else thought it should be done, then the judgment was still there. And that was very confusing as a young mom going, but I don't need a planner to write the doctor's appointment down in. I remembered it just fine. I have a different system that I use. And it just felt so overwhelming for that judgment to be there, even though by all rights, I was being successful. And that was so confusing. And I still catch myself sometimes going, wait, Just because someone else doesn't do it that way doesn't mean I can't do it this way.
For me, the word balance comes to mind. And so I've felt pressure in spaces where I share a space with others. And that has come up both in my workspaces and home spaces. And there's always this wanting to be organized enough for myself to be able to function and do whatever it is that needs to be done. And also still keep up with what is needed from the group. And so this idea of pressure has come maybe in a workspace where there's a new system or a new idea or something new to take on. And immediately, this is going back to boxes and folders, immediately my mind goes, okay, I need a new folder. I need a new notebook to organize my thoughts about this new thing. And this pressure to also keep up with whatever else is going on, you know, in a workspace, you know, if my order of notebooks and stuff doesn't come fast enough, like, can I keep up and do what needs to be done? And so this balance that needs to be struck in spaces sharing with others.
Fantastic. We know that the reason we have the simple rules is because they're rooted in research and they help us to show up as better humans for each other, for ourselves, and obviously for children. The research is kind of hands down about how organized environments make us more productive. They increase our sense of agency, our feelings that we're in control of what's around us. And when we feel in control, our self-esteem is better. And I think our stories throughout this conversation have definitely affirmed that. And then when the routines and rules and procedures and organizations are shared and explicit, it's easier for us to get stuff done, to relate to one another, to have better relationships. And again, I think that came through in a lot of our stories. I mean, in this day and age, I don't know about all of you, I feel like balancing my emotions, making sure I'm steady is so important. And when I'm in an organized space, the research tells me my anxiety is less. It's easier to relax. And organized spaces help us to collaborate. So let's think back over the conversation that we had today and think about tips or strategies that we want to hold on to help us to be organized in a way that's free of judgment. Anybody want to share a tip that you heard or that you offered?
A tip I heard was when you, Serene, said, if a routine no longer works for you or a system, get rid of it. And I heard that loud and clear. And I thought that is such a wonderful tip for thinking about how our organization serves us.
Thanks for that, Nicole. And I think for me, to add to that, it's that idea of balance and that reminder. I think you said it, Nicole, that organizing or organization is to make things easier. And so if we are becoming tripped up in trying to keep a certain thing going and finding that we are tense or having feelings of being intense or intense feelings, that maybe it's time to look at that system and maybe it's not serving. And so that balance in that can let it go.
Judy, earlier in the conversation, you mentioned just taking a few minutes to accomplish a task, I think, in your home office that helped you feel more organized. And I just want to take that away. The take a few minutes. You don't have to carve out 2 hours. It doesn't have to be perfect or monumental, but just 5-10 minutes could help you feel grounded and organized in your space.
I can tell you, Shannon, that yesterday when I took the 20 minutes to do the linen closet, I couldn't, my husband is someone who has a label maker. I couldn't find the label maker, and that was starting to sabotage my success. And so I put pieces of scotch tape and wrote on the scotch tape where the things are. And that also was important to me, that it doesn't have to be perfect. And I think I often have this vision of organization as something that's not achievable. And I think that goes back for me to judgment. And then the last tip that I think I really want to hold on to is remembering the why of it, that it isn't about achieving organization just because. It's asking myself, why do I need to organize it? In the case of my linen closet, it was because I couldn't find the flat sheet to put on the bed, and I couldn't believe I didn't have another clean flat sheet. Any other tips or thoughts or closing ideas that anyone would like to offer?
I think, Shannon, your idea, you didn't explicitly say it, this idea of finding a system that works for everybody versus multiple individual systems. So in the example of your coffee table in your home, that's one system, but it works for everybody in the home. And so that is a tip I want to hold on to for myself, is think about a system that works for everybody.
That's great. So in our book, The 11 Simple Rules, we say that organized emotional and physical environments make learning, relationships, and communication easier. They're critical for adults and children alike. Organization invites our subconscious to be at ease. And when we know where things are and what we can expect, we can focus on what we want to accomplish, whether we're 4 or 40. At Leading for Children, our approach to building strong communities for us and for children starts with each one of us. Thank you so much, Nicole, Serene, and Shannon, for a fantastic conversation. Thanks to our community for joining the conversation today about organized emotional and physical environments, another of our 11 Simple Rules for Thriving Communities. Please check out our book about the 11 Simple Rules. You can find it in the library on our website, www.leadingforchildren.org. And please stay in the loop with what LFC is up to by subscribing to our newsletter via our website. Nicole, Serene, and Shannon, can I invite each of you to thank one another and thank our listeners?
Thank you all. It was a pleasure being a part of this conversation.
Thank you. It's been a wonderful conversation.
Thanks, everyone. I've really enjoyed this, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
And I'd like to thank Julia Connolly, our team member at Leading for Children, who helps us to put this podcast together and who makes it available to all of you. Have a great week.